turn this one on, see if this will work.
Got that one on, there you go. Ephesians, you can turn this one off, there you go. Ephesians chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters in Ephesians. I sent a message today to a, a young couple. You know, sometimes, and I guess I can talk to y'all just to be honest with you. Sometimes when you have children, if one of them gets a runny nose, the old song, I think the Kingsman did it, said everybody had to stay home to do what? To wipe his nose. And so this particular one, they had some problems and they couldn't come. And so I just sent them a message out there and said, well, listen, you know who'll keep you out of church on Sunday? The devil will. The devil doesn't want you to come to God's house. Now, you say, well, why is that? I said, I can't answer that. And the fact it's the Lord's day, and he may have something for you that the devil doesn't want you to get, and he will try his best to keep you out of God's house for that sake. But in Ephesians chapter number 6, you'll notice there's several verses there, and we'll just read a few of them there for time's sake. And in chapter number 6, verse number 11, these two verses here are my message tonight, but it starts off talking about, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Put on not part of the armor, but how much? The whole armor. Now, let me ask you a question. If you only put partial armor on, what happens? What happens? You only have partial protection. That means you have an area that is vulnerable, open, susceptible to what Satan has. And the devil wants you to be out in the world without your armor on. He wants you to have something missing. And he says to put on the whole armor, because if you're not able, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there means his tricks, his schemes. By the way, the devil is smarter than you are. Did you know that? The devil will whip you every time. And you mess with the devil, and you're messing with someone that has been around since the beginning of time for us, that we understand there from his standpoint. And he has many, many practice sessions with many of us individuals that God has made. And as Lester Roloff said, he was successful with all of them but one, and that's when Jesus Christ came along. And he couldn't do anything with that. But the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Keep that in mind. This is not a flesh or blood fight, but it's against principalities. That's the jurisdictions that are out there that rise up against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I think sometimes, and we're going to have a word of prayer, that we forget that the devil is a prince and the power of this air. This world is not our home. Did you know that? We're just doing what? We're traveling through. We're just passing through. And we're here. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are ambassadors. Amen? I was trying to explain in my class today about who an ambassador is. And I think it was Elijah. Him and his wife were here, and a little son there. And they didn't understand what an ambassador is. An ambassador represents a country. Guess what? This is not our home. Our home is heaven. Amen? We're ambassadors of somewhere else. We ought to live like, you know, listen, my father owns it all. You know what? We're royalty. We're rich. We got things we don't even know we got. Amen? And it's kind of neat to know that, even though sometimes it feels like, well, we ain't got a whole lot. Well, guess what? This ain't ours down here. We're temporary stewards of what God has given us, and I'm for taking care of it. But the devil, folks, has been successful. And chapter 6 is a book. I remember several years ago, I was thinking about a message. I had wrote points down from Justin Cooper, and he preached about the armory. He preached about the fact that we need to get into the armory, and an armory is a place that is full of weapons. Did you hear what I said? It's a place you go. I was in security forces there for a couple years, and I'd go in, and I would get issued my weapon. I'd go to the armorer, and I'd get my gun and all out, and I'd go back. I'd take it back in the evening there, and you know what? It was a place where I went to be armed, and listen, God's Word is where we find our weaponry, right here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, Lord, tonight, Lord, and God, that we can praise you. I know tonight, Lord, there's many, Lord, out there, Father, that are probably sitting in their homes. Lord, I don't know why people don't come out to church on Sunday nights other than They have been in a place where they've gotten themselves away from God, and sometimes it looks like the easiest thing to do is just to stay there. Lord, the devil is happy when a Christian is doing nothing. The devil is happy when the Bible is closed. Lord, we know the devil is happy when their knees are no longer bent to talk to you. And Father, tonight I ask, Lord, God, that you, Lord, will meet with us tonight. Guide us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. I was reading, I like Rich Tozer, probably one of my favorite preachers that we have here. Now, Justin is right there at the top, too. I like what Rich said one time, and I wrote this down. I'd encourage you to put it in your Bible. I don't know whether he took it from somebody else, but he said this. He said, every day I get to work with two things eternal. I get to work with the Word of God and the souls of men. Did you hear that? He said, every day I get to work with two things that are eternal. The Word of God and the souls of men. If we will focus our lives on those things, every day we get to open this book up. Amen? We get to hear from God every day, and we get to take it to a world that needs the Lord. That is important points. That's something we need to remember. But I've got to tell you, in our church, the devil is alive and he's well in many things. He works very good in churches today. Over in Matthew 16:18, you'll find a verse that's very familiar to you. He says, upon this rock I will build my what? And it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail what? Against it. But I got to tell you something, but churches don't always qualify under the category of my church. Did you catch that? You know, the gates of hell, because a lot of churches today, listen, the devil has his churches. Did you know that? The devil has his preachers. The devil has his teachers. And Satan is wise. Now, how does he come after us? If Satan was to step out here today with his pitchfork, amen, and his flaming fire and everything that he has to battle with, and he's got his long tail and his big horns and all, you know what? We'd say, we got to go out and fight the devil, you know. But the devil don't work that way, amen? The devil doesn't come that way. He knows if he come after us openly, he knows that what we would do, we would unite each other. We would come together as it's kind of like, let me get me a drink of water here. It's kind of like this issue with the asphalt plant. That little deal with the asphalt plant got a lot of people interested. We had folks pull up out here in the parking lot this afternoon before church. Church is just right over, and they had pulled up there, and they were holding these people. Anybody see them pull up? I think so. They pulled up there, so I knew immediately when I wanted to see them, you know, and I was talking to them a minute. I invited them to church, and of course, the lady driving, she says, well, I like to be somewhere that I can speak in tongues. And my little fleshly side of me wanted to say, well, I can speak in tongues. Oh, Lord, come and stop, muy bien, and interpret for me. Carla, interpret for me. Hola, ¿cómo está? Muy bien. What'd I say? Yeah, good. See, they're speaking in tongues. There you are. But that's not what she was talking about. She said, I like to be somewhere I can peek in the heavenlies. Now, listen, I've been in a lot of Pentecostal churches. I've been in places, buddy, where it sounded like bees was there, buddy. It's like, and all around. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What Paul said, if somebody walks in there and does not know what's going on, they'll think you are crazy. And by the way, why is that? Paul also said, I'd rather speak one word, prophesy one word, and speak 1,000 words in an unknown. Because, listen, people don't know what you're saying. But I don't want to get off on that today. I'm not beating that in the standpoint. But my point is this, folks. Listen, what the devil tries to do, he tries to come, and here's the word, infiltrate. He tries to come in and step in into a work. Because, you know, the devil has his eyes. And he uses people. Listen, I think he uses a couple things. He uses people and he uses problems. He finds things that he can do. He is a real enemy, and he doesn't battle just in flesh and blood alone. Satan knows something about Fannin Road. Do you know he knows us? Do you know that? He knows us. He knows right now back in the back there. By the way, Wade is trying to teach our choir, and I appreciate Wade Hill. Wade Hill. Somebody said about being military. I mean, he doesn't realize he's showing all these little things on there. He's giving all these little acronyms on there. We won't remember any of that stuff, brother. Amen, Brother Gary. We won't remember none of that stuff. I don't even know what he's talking about. And he's wanting to know. You know, I know what a flat is most of the time, but I don't know what the G and the D and all that stuff is. Amen. It doesn't fit for me. But you know what? If he's happy teaching me that, let him go at it. I'm just going to try to sing the note when it comes to time, and that's the best I can do. And he better practice that note for me to be able to do it, because if I can't hear it, I can't sing it. But you know, the devil, I believe, places a bullseye on churches like ours. I believe he says, we've got to battle that church. If you think the little thing with the asphalt plant is the end of any problems we're going to have, you're dreaming. If you think that's it, maybe it may get a lot bigger. The next thing that may come over there may be Budweiser. Who knows what they're going to build? They're going to build a... Because listen, all that land over there now... But I got to tell you this. I got to get my message. But I had a call. Deborah had gone to Walmart. You was at Walmart, weren't you? Last night, yesterday, I told you that the environmentalist called me. Anyway, was you at Walmart? That's what I thought. Yeah, I was there, and I did... Huh? Goodwill or Walmart or somewhere. She was gone, and my phone rang. I didn't recognize the number of the lady. She told me who she was. She was an environmentalist. She said, are you the reverend at the church over there? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you know anything about that wetlands over there that they were trying to build an asphalt plant in? And I said, no, ma'am. She says, well, let me tell you something. That is wetlands. And she said, we're going to file an injunction against the company and the city. And she said, we do this, we're part of the state. She says, I work on a group, and she said, those folks should not be able to go in there. She said, there's a stream that runs through there, and she said, they're going to go in there. And she said, we've got to make sure they understand that we know about this. She said, they went down to the city down there. They didn't know that the thing had been stopped, and she said, that doesn't mean anything. They'll just probably go on down the street a little ways and do it somewhere else. And I said, yes, ma'am. I want to say, ma'am, I'm really not wanting to listen to this. But she got into stuff that I didn't know what she's even talking about. She was telling me what kind of dirt is out there about all ADM and EPA stuff and all this. She just went on and on and on. She was a PhD from Wake Forest University in North Carolina. I like that part about her. But she went on for a long time. But my point is this. That's not our only battle. And Satan knows that. Well, the devil likes to come in, and he likes to get inside of a church, and he does a couple things. Now, I'll open your Bibles. I'll hold your place in Ephesians and flip back to Matthew. First of all, what does the devil do? The devil comes into a church, and churches today, go to Matthew chapter number 15. I want to show you an interesting verse in Matthew 15, and we'll read a couple verses there, but not a lot. In Matthew 15, look in verse number 1. Notice who he's talking to here. It'll help you. My first point is this, that when the devil comes to any church, he tries to get us to form a form of tradition. You hear what I said? Tradition. Tradition is of man. Man's ideas about how church is supposed to be, and if you don't do it the way it's supposed to be, then you are wrong. Then came to Jesus Christ, then came to Jesus scribes, and who? Which were of Jerusalem, saying, now notice what they're saying, why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now, did you catch that? These boys were not doing what? They were not washing their hands. And these Pharisees were saying, why, you folks are, this is our tradition. You're supposed to be doing this. Now, look, but he answers and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? What you do, what you're actually doing is going against what God says. You ever notice that a church that does have the power of God will have man's traditions? I grew up in a traditional church. I grew up in a church where, and some of y'all, anybody else did? I grew up in a church where the candles were lit. I mean, listen, when you went into that church, it looked phenomenal at times. We had these big operas that stood up in there on certain Sundays especially, and those operas would be lit. When you go in there, and certain times, man, it just looked almost holy. I mean, you go, wow, check this out. When we were down in Panama for the 2.5 years we were down there, we got several chances to go into some very large Catholic churches. And I'll tell you something right now. You want to go down into Central America, I'm sure Mexico too, amen? Same thing. You go into that Catholic church, and it is tradition everywhere. I mean, you've got the body of Christ up there in a box. They got him up there. They've got all this stuff. And honestly, when you go in there, there's almost an eerie feeling to it. Anybody ever been in one? There's an eerie feeling to it. And it's just a feeling in there that something ain't right because you're a believer. But listen, these traditions of men are not of God. They tend to go back on the things that God says we should be doing. Modern churches today get involved in ceremonies, and we get involved in everything but where we ought to be. A couple verses let me throw at you for a minute. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." In Galatians 3:13 it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Paul tells us in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What makes little churches like this one special is really and truly is we don't run by the same course that a lot of churches do. You know, we can come to church one Sunday, and it might just not be just like it was. It may just change altogether. You say, "Well, I know I don't like it." Some people like everything to flow just like clockwork. They don't. You know, Brother Paul. Listen, Brother Paul had told me. Matter of fact, Deborah had come to me and said, "Brother Paul wanted to say something." I think she said before I preached, but I forgot that. And so at the end of the service, you know, she said, "Honey, Brother Paul wants to speak." Now listen, in some churches, they wouldn't have dared to allow that 89-year-old man to come up there and say anything. Now I'm gonna tell you something. Brother Paul is a Nazarene. He's a Nazarene. We don't agree on every little thing. Now, I don't get off on what we disagree on. I just ain't. But I'm going to tell you something. What he had to say was important. Tradition says he can't say anything. But God can walk in there, and that man stands up here. Let me tell you something. What he had to say, you could feel the power of God in what he was saying, because the God that he was speaking of, you knew the same one. Amen? And tradition, though, tradition won't allow you. Now, the New Testament Christian is you know, I grew up keeping, we had to keep ordinances, we had to follow the regulations, and we fell under, as a Methodist, a conference. Am I right on that? Am I right, Miss Judy? Under a conference, you remember? And you had a bishop and all those folks lined up in there, and they pretty much would regulate what you do and don't do. Can I tell you something? Let me show you a verse. Go to Romans chapter 8. I don't believe the church ever was designed to be controlled by a hierarchy. I think the only hierarchy we need to be controlled by is the Lord Jesus Christ and this book right here. And I think it needs to govern everything that we do. If we get away from that, then everything we're doing is nothing but man-made rules and regulations. In Romans chapter number 8, and by the way, when I was a Methodist, the pastor was they removed them about every 3 years, and then they sent you whoever they wanted you to have. And you didn't pick your pastor. I'm going to tell you something. When I'm gone from here, y'all going to get y'all pulpit committee together, and you're going to go out and find you a pastor, and you're going to vote on that pastor, and you're going to call that pastor, and God's going to send that man to you. I believe that when that day comes. But in Romans chapter 8, look in verse number 14. The Bible, and here's the thing. Verse 13 tells us that, "For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." That word mortify means to destroy it. You got to take this old body down. But, you know, and then in verse 14, "For as many that are," what's the next word? "Led by the Spirit of God," they are who? The sons of God. We got to be careful that we don't allow tradition to step in. As churches grow, most of the time, if you've ever noticed, how many of y'all grew up in a little country church, but today it has grown into a much bigger church? Has anybody seen that? Do you remember back years ago when it was a small little work? And I mean, and it wasn't big, but as it got bigger, you go back and you notice years later, it was not the same any longer. They become hierarchical. They had all these different rules and all these different things going on. These are traditions of men, and they'll cause you, it's called formalism. And formalism, listen, what does it try to do? When folks walk in, I like to do things. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I like to do things that have ceremonial value to them. I mean, where they actually have scriptural emphasis to it. But I remember years ago, we used to go to church certain times of the year, and we would light candles. I mean, we would do this. We would come down and do different things, and we would the ashes stuff were done in the denomination I was in, where the man put ashes on your face and all. Always thought that was kind of interesting to have that done. Really didn't make any sense to me as a kid, but I do remember it happening. And they were formalities. But what when people see things, when you look sometimes at Rome is a huge formalistic being of a monstrosity. When people see the Pope mobile, whoo, ain't that something? And people see all the stuff, and the world looks at it and says, "Wow, look at that!" And then they come down here to a little old punky dunt church down in the middle of a swamp down here in Montgomery, and they go, "Huh, what's that down there? Must not be a whole lot." Well, let me tell you something. One says tradition, the other one says the power of God. And there's a vast difference between the two. The world can't always understand that. You know, a lot of people don't understand why that plant didn't show up here. Well, I got news for you. God didn't want it. And if God don't want it, folks, and we pray, God will answer our prayers. I believe that. But you know, first of all, you've got to realize formalism will be exposed, and it exposes itself. You want to know we're getting formal. I'm telling you this to be careful as our church grows that we don't grow from being who we are. Now, we may grow to be a bigger work. We may have 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 here one day, but that don't mean that the church cannot be what it's supposed to be. You got to be cautious that you don't lose that. The first thing is this. Let me give you these right quick, and we'll close for tonight. Formalism says, "Look at the outward and not the inward." Everything will be done. Listen to this: to please people, people pleasers. You get somebody, and they. I remember one time. I don't know if I tell you this or not. Better think about it for a second before I tell it, because I get in trouble. Stay in trouble. Tell it, yeah, bro. Okay, yeah. We had, I told you the story about the drapes on the church one time. You remember that story? We had y'all remember that? Some of y'all don't remember that story. Some of you do. Some of you don't. They want to put drapes on the windows of the church. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never been to a church that had drapes on the windows. I got to be honest with you. I've been to churches that had stained glasses, but I've never been in one. I'm not saying that, but I was sitting in the office, and this lady come in there, and they said they want to put drapes on the windows. And before I could think, I said, "I've never been in a church that had drapes on the windows." That's all I said. Well, about, a week later, this person come back by there and said, "Brother Lester," I knew it. When they do call you that, you know you're in trouble. "I just want to let you know that this family's leaving the church." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because you said you can't have drapes on the windows." I said, "I didn't say that." They said, "Well, that's just telling like it is." And again, but sometimes you speak before you think. I thought, well, if they're here for drapes on the windows, that's what they're here for, then I don't think they're here for the wrong reasons. We put this carpet on the floor right here. Listen, let me tell you, this carpet is going to be clean, by the way, Claudia. They want to come clean the carpet in the pews. I want to do that before the revival. We're going to have a clean-up day before the revival, too. I'll go ahead and tell you. I wasn't going to drop it on you too quickly, but we're going to have one here. We're going to clean the church around, do some work. But anyway, we put this carpet down, does anybody remember who picked this carpet out? Please remind me. Women did. Yeah, men, there you go. I'm bald-headed, but I ain't stupid. I don't really care what the color carpet is. I really don't care whether we even have carpet. But the ladies picked it out, but you ladies don't know this, but a lady come to me. I'll never forget this. She come in, she said, "Brother Lester, who in the world picked that out? Who picked this color out?" And I mean, I was ready. I wanted to say, "Your bunch did." Now, she wasn't there. She said, "I wasn't there that day, and I didn't get a chance to do my vote." I said, "I'm sorry." But you know what she thought? She thought that me and the deacons picked this carpet out. She was wrong. We were smarter than that. Thank God for that. But the bottom line is this. They look on the outward and not the what? Secondly, they base everything on the law. And they don't base it on the love. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I'll go ahead and tell you that now. I love the independent Baptists. I mean, they're good folks, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's some of them, they're so stuck on certain things that, buddy, they'll be mad at you. And I don't mean, I use the thing with women wearing pants. And I've been involved with this my entire life as a born-again Christian. And the churches that we went to, buddy, if a lady walked into our church with pants on, buddy, every woman in there would look at them with these eyes that said, kill you. Kill you. You sinner. You piece of dirt. And I've seen the ladies go, you just get that uncomfortable feeling. Somebody's, you know how they feel, Judy. They're looking at you like, ugh, like you got an Auburn shirt on. Amen? Yeah. If Judy had an Auburn shirt on, we know for sure Alzheimer's has set in. Amen? We know that for sure. But here's my point. You know, can I tell you something? The law says you worry about these little things like that, but love says you love them. And let me tell you something now. If the Scriptures are clear on things, let the Word of God do the changing and not let the person. But see, the people that are hung in the formalism, they'll tell you, you have to do this and this and this. And if you don't do it our way, you know, you've been to Independence, right? I love them to death, but there's a bunch of them. And I got some right now won't even come back to church here because of that reason. I had one says, well, God told me that you let women wear pants in your church. I said, man, I don't let them do anything. I'm not in charge of that bunch. They got their own problems. I only got one wife, and that's all I can handle. That's enough. And that's too much. But here's my point. Number three, people do things for men. People do things for men, and they don't do it for God. Watch this. I'm going to pick this songbook up. I'm going to put this songbook up. Brother Jim, you see me? I'm putting the songbook up, Brother Jim. Did you see that, Brother Jim? I put the songbook up. Brother Jim, did you see that? Brother Jim, are you listening to me? And you know what that person's wanting? They want me to get up and say, ladies and gentlemen, I need to notify you that Michelle Hardegree put a songbook up. She can go, oh, look. You know what? You know what she's looking for? She's looking for the accolades of men. Let me tell you how to know someone's doing something for God. And I've used her, for example. I wouldn't do it necessarily in front of her. I think we need to recognize some of our ladies that work. There's a little lady that goes back in here every Sunday morning. Most of y'all are still in bed at 8 o'clock in the morning. Miss Nancy's here in this church. This light's on, and she's printing these bulletins. But long before that, she's got her computer program on at her house. And she does the bulletin. She does everything in the bulletin. She puts all the information in the calendar. She puts all that in there together. And let me tell you something. She does it. Not for the praise of men, but she does it for the praise of God. You know what she told me? She said, I can't do a lot anymore, but I can do this. And she told me this years ago. She said, I can help you this way. She don't know how much that means to me. Because me in that calendar would be fighting itself. So I would get the wrong name at the wrong place at the wrong date and the wrong time. And here's coming somebody now, Brother Jim, this ain't my date, and I don't know who put this in here. I don't like this. Nah. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, throw that calendar in the trash can and get away with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. That's why we kind of got away from birthdays and anniversaries and all, because if you miss somebody's, and we still got them in there, but if you miss somebody's, they're mad at you. Bless your heart. You know what? You're looking for the praise of men. Number four, and my time's run out, and I'll just give you these and we'll close. We have a religion that's about the flesh and not about the spirit. Look in Galatians chapter 6. And y'all know this verse. I guarantee it when you get to it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 8. Galatians 6. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall do what? Reap of the flesh, reap what? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Let me read that verse to you. I'm going to throw this at you. I don't think you got anybody here to be too mad at me tonight, but I like this one. It says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I like this saying. I don't know who said it, but he said this. In other words, they that smoke cigarettes shall more likely get lung cancer. Read that verse again. You get. You know what? I puffed on it. Anybody else puffed on them? Raise your hand. I puffed on them. They may still get me. My real father and my oldest brother died of lung cancer. And they may still get me, even though I didn't smoke but, 6-7 years there, roughly. But I smoked enough, probably, to get it. But you know what? The last thing is this, and we'll close. Formalism in the church is all about actions. And here's another word that we don't see a lot anymore, unction. We have a lot of, people come in and here's what they asked. When people are looking for churches today and we get them, they'll say, listen, can you tell me what you have for my children? And I'm going to tell you something, we have a lot of stuff for kids here. Y'all know that. Matter of fact, when the Turners come here, the Turner family come here, and they come to the church, and they just left the church. It had things didn't go well with them. They really had decided almost to get out of church altogether, but they came, and they pulled up in the parking lot here, and they were sitting in there talking, and they said, well, you reckon they got any children here? And they were late, in that particular day, we were all in here, everybody. When they opened the door, do you know what it looks like on here when everybody's in here, kids and everybody? And they went, well, I don't think this is going to be a problem. No, it wasn't going to be a problem. But you know what? You know what? Sometimes we forget that as a church, and listen, we look at all the things, the programs we got, I watch them on TV. Church has a bake sale. You ever seen this? Church has a bazaar. Churches, and people come up to me and say, Brother Lester, when am I going to do that? I said, probably ain't. Why not? I said, why do you do that kind of stuff? We do it to raise money. I said, we raise money through tithes and offerings. That's God's plan. Just give. You ain't got to go through all the goober junk. You ain't got to go drag all this stuff. Yeah, listen, you ever been to a church and had a where they keep all the clothes in? What do they call that? Clothing closet. What a nightmare. We used to have it here. We used to have bags of clothes back here, packed all in there, stinky, smelly, smoky clothes. People don't always give you their finest. A lot of times they give you stuff that their dog won't even sleep on anymore. And then you've got to go through it. This is a fact. I remember years ago, before Trinity mixed up down there with Memorial, and I went down in the basement down there, and they had just stroves of stuff that had been hanging in there for years and years and years. And he said, what would you do with this, Lester? I said, I'd get rid of it. I'd take it to Goodwill or somebody, and that's what we would be done with that business. But look over in Matthew, and we'll close with this verse. Matthew chapter 15. We're talking about traditions. Look in, what did I say, Matthew 15? Yeah. Write this one down. Matthew 15 and verse number, just look at one verse, verse number 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? When you go to a formalistic church and somebody truly needs something, they will give them the traditions of men. You know what the best thing you can give to somebody? When someone comes in into this church, and let's talk just for a minute before we close. We'll have folks that come in sometime and they come in with heavy burdens. Sometimes we'll give them the traditions of men. When sometimes the best thing you can give them is an arm around them and get on your knees with them and pray with them and tell them that God loves them. And then look at them and say, listen, I can't fix this problem, but I can be with you. I can help you. You know, we can't fix Van Beasley's problem. Did you know that? We cannot fix it. Van's been out of church now really and truly for, goodness, going on 2 years, to be honest with you. He's been here one time in about a year and a half. and he's going through some deep, dark times. It'd be really easy tradition to say, well, he's not, here we go, here's a preacher. He hasn't tithed. He hasn't worked in the ministry here. He hasn't done these things. He hasn't met the commitments here. He hasn't done this. So it'd be real easy just to say, well, you know what? We really shouldn't do him any help because really he hadn't. But you know what? The love of God says what? You go to him. You go to him. And does that mean he's going to come back to church and do right? No. He may turn around at some point in time and say, I don't want your help. Get out of my yard. But I'm going to tell you what he's never going to forget. He's never going to forget the hand that reached out to him and said, I'm not going to walk away from you. I'm going to care about you. And I'm going to reach out to you regardless of what. See, tradition will cost you. It'll cost our church. Now, we haven't got there yet, and I hope we never do. I pray that we'll always be the type of church that our hearts will be there. You know, every sinner that walks into our little church who's blind to God's plan, when they don't understand something, I'll tell you what they will understand. They'll understand where the devil is. They'll understand what the power of God is. What I really want to see happens when a person walks into this church, that the power of God is so strong in the pews and the pulpit that they know there's something different about us. Amen? They know there's something different here, and they know the truth is here, and they know they can find the answer here, and they know the help is here. And when the time comes as believers that we go and do what we're supposed to do. Next week, we'll look at second of all there. We looked at the formality. We'll look at the flesh. Because the devil, first of all, gives us our traditions, but then he comes after our flesh. And we'll look at some things back in Ephesians where we started. Let's all stand tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, listen to me. Number one, woo, don't leave here tonight. Don't leave here tonight lost. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, don't leave here tonight. You ever thought about this? Let me ask you, how many here tonight are saved? You're saved tonight. If you're not saved tonight, don't leave here. Can I tell you something? Do you realize tonight that I could give an invitation, and I'm going to just for a moment. Do you realize we could close in prayer in about 5 minutes? We could get out, we could walk out the door of this church and head to our homes. And on the way home tonight, we could be hit by a car and killed. Tonight. You ever thought about that? How old are you? You're 15, man. Do you know you live in Wedge still, right? You could be headed home tonight, getting off the bus. Dude's waiting on you out there in Wedgewood. So there he is. That's the dude. I remember him. And as you're walking by there, the dude walks up and busts a cap on you. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. Kills you. We got a young man here. What was the young man's name that died with the bullet shot through the neck? What was his? I can't remember his name now. Huh? Was it Ladarian? You know, Ladarian went out that night to have a good time. Took his mama's car down on Day Street. Thought everything was going to be cool. She had a Lexus, by the way. Dude walked up with a pistol and said, give it to me. He said, no. Pulled the trigger and shot him right through the neck and killed him. Gone. Just like that. You know how simple it would be tonight if you don't know that you're saved? Don't leave here tonight lost. So I'm not talking about making you a church member. I didn't ask you to put any money in the offering plate. I just said tonight you better make sure that you're saved. Number two, be careful tonight that you don't get caught up in tradition. Be careful tonight with these things, you know, because listen, we can be so traditional that we forget that God's word is clear about salvation. God's word is clear about us as believers, what we're to do. I pray tonight that you won't leave here tonight. I won't ever head bowed tonight. How many here tonight say, Pastor, there's been...